Jesus Christ, according to God.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew in turn and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you may be seated. All I need are cymbals between my knees, right? And we're all set here, so that's okay. We're go with the flow, and we can punt on occasion when need be. So lest I forget what I will need, Bob and Ralph will be at the altar if someone can... Bob and Ralph will be at the altar, so if someone can help us with the collection during the offertory song, that would be fantastic, as our usher wasn't able to be here today. So that would be wonderful, because the first rule of seminary is always get the money. So that's the first thing they teach you, and then they say, "Oh yeah, and you'll need a Bible." But no, that's not true. That's not true. Probably. We had quite a week here, didn't we? Wow. I think, just except for a handful of you, most of you were here on Wednesday night. We were standing room only. We had a full house. And we welcomed into the Sacred Order of Deacons our friend, our brother Ralph. What a glorious night it was. I heard good comments from start to finish about the ceremony, about all of you. People enjoyed the bishop. Many of you have experienced him many times before, our bishop is very down to earth. Very personable. And it was just a glorious, glorious night. And so now, the real work begins. The real work begins. Not that Ralph wasn't doing real work before, but in taking on those vows, in taking on that step, he enters into a new era of his life and ministry. And I'm wondering if, how you felt the next morning, if you felt different, or if you woke up and just kind of thought, what happened? I mean, you know, probably a gamut of emotions that day.
Lots of them.
And then to go and do his, did you go to the hospital on Friday, or did you?
I sure
You would have deserved the day off, and I would not have blamed you for that. But he went back to serve as the chaplain at the hospital. And the other chaplains weren't there. That's pretty common. That happens sometimes. So he gets all of Waukesha Memorial to himself a lot of times. The difference last Friday was that he took the sacramental ministry of the diaconate with him, empowered by the church, empowered by the bishop, but most of all empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve God's people. So what exactly did we do here on Wednesday? Everyone enjoyed a beautiful ceremony. Everyone enjoyed the big party that we had afterward. But what exactly happened? When one is ordained deacon, priest, or bishop, it is someone who has been raised up by the church, that the church has said, "We believe you called to this ministry." And that bishop stands before that individual and says, "Give, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit to Ralph and make him a deacon in your church." A few years back, we had that very thing here. It was, "Give your Holy Spirit to Stephen and make him a priest in your church." Some people never witness an ordination. Some of you have at least two, if not more, under your belt. It is a holy and precious moment. And in that moment, he takes his place among the apostles as one who is sent forth in ministry. And it's a nice ceremony and it's a wonderful thing to do, but it means so much more and goes so far beyond what we saw on Wednesday night. He has a new pedigree. He has a new pedigree. What is a pedigree, you might ask? Well, nobody's asking that, but that's my segue. So, dog food. That's... I don't know. There's another sermon right there. I don't know, you know. It's your history. It's your lineage. It's your family tree. And Ralph took on a new family tree Wednesday night. Just as Father Stephen did, just as I did, just as Father Chris and Father Ted and all of those priests you saw here on Wednesday night, just as our bishop did. And what I want to share with you this morning is the why we do what we do and how it's so much bigger than ourselves. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit for ministry and why we have what we call in our church apostolic succession. Well, you've probably heard of that before and you've heard me preach about it before. And if you've done our new member thing, one of the teachings in that series for new members of the church is on apostolic succession and why that's important. A lot of people might tell you that it's not important, but we believe it's important because we are connected to the ancient holy church. And the liturgy that we do takes us right back to the first century. It's described in Scripture. The earliest documents outside of Scripture have this liturgy set up basically the way we do it today. And we continue in that. The church that Jesus Christ Himself sent forth into the world continues in the world today, and it will continue until Christ returns. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And until that point, we continue in this worship. We continue celebrating Eucharist. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And by golly, we're still doing it. And we'll do it until Christ returns. And that connection to the ancient first century church is solidified and lived out in the practice of apostolic succession. Ralph's new family tree. You want to know what it is? This is it. This is one of our gifts to Ralph. This is a list of names, not overly exciting, until you actually start to read the names on this list. The last one right there says Michael Bruce Davidson. Michael Bruce Davidson is the bishop that stood before all of us on Wednesday night, laid hands upon Ralph, and said, make him a deacon in your church. The same bishop that stood before Father Stephen and said, make him a priest in your church. And the name above Michael Bruce Davidson says Craig William Bates, the bishop that stood in the church before the people as Michael Bruce Davidson knelt before him. And he laid his hands on Bishop Mike and said, make him a bishop in your church. Austin Randolph Adler stood in a church in New York City, and Craig William Bates knelt before him, and Bishop Adler put his hands on the head of our now patriarch, Craig Bates, and said, make him a bishop in your church. Well, you can see that there's close to 100 names here. I could keep going. I won't do that. This is the line of apostolic succession, and you just keep going up the line, and then keep going up the line, and you eventually arrive at James the Less, one of the disciples, the first bishop of Jerusalem in the year 37. All the way up there. Now, one of the reasons that I had this blown up to this size and framed as a gift for Ralph is because in this pedigree, in this family tree, we see it goes through William White, who was the first bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States in 1787, and the Archbishop of Canterbury before him was Archbishop John Moore. And the reason we're looking at this chart today is because John Moore, Archbishop of Canterbury, is the one who laid hands on Roger John White.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one that ordained me. My pedigree goes through Roger John White. We intersect at Archbishop of Canterbury, John Moore. And then we'll go back together. Father Stevens does the same thing. But doesn't stop here, because this is through James, the first bishop of Jerusalem. There's a second chart that goes through Peter, the first bishop of Rome. And the first bishop of Rome, those charts will intersect somewhere around, his name begins with a V. Where did it go? Well, it's on here. I think it's Vitalian. And the charts intersect. And so not only has he taken his place through James the Less, the first bishop of Jerusalem, but he takes his place through Peter, the first bishop of Rome, and the chart goes back. There's even more names on that chart. It doesn't stop there. Anybody remember the third disciple who was a bishop? John. John. And John was in Smyrna, not the one in Georgia. And so the same kind of chart goes back and again intersects and goes back through the apostle, the disciple, John. And all of these people, in one way or another, are in that line. And so you could pick any one of them. And what's interesting is that not everyone was ordained individually by a single person. So these charts could just, you know, explode with names. What you have here are the popes, the Archbishop of Canterbury. It goes back through St. David of Wales, which I particularly like. We've got all of the Irish and Celtic Archbishop's son here. So, and as we found out yesterday, everybody's Irish whether they are or not, right? Yeah. Or they behave like the Irish. So the Irish are holy people. This is what we're doing here today. We're taking our place. We're solidifying the ministry of this church right back to the first century, to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the Eucharist the way they did it, to raising up men for ordained ministry that will inherit this line, that will perpetuate this line. And it's guaranteed in the fact that a long time ago, when a bishop is consecrated, there are at least three. And that's what I was talking about, of how it could branch out all over the place. Because if we look at the consecration of our own bishop, Bishop Mike, the principal consecrator, as he's called, was Archbishop Bates. But there are like five others, and each one of them was consecrated by three bishops, and each one of those bishops by at least three. And so it just explodes backwards like that. It's a fascinating study. And everybody goes, yeah, that's cool, okay. But why do we care? We care because we are called to the apostolic ministry of the church. And we are called to the sacred responsibility of guarding the faith. Did you know that's one of the main promises that a bishop makes when he's consecrated? Is that he will guard the faith. And many have done that with their very lives. Now we pray that it never comes to that for us. I'm too much of a chicken. You know, we might have these meetings, and if somebody's attacking us, I'm going to say, Father Steve, go get him. Yeah. He's going to look for Ralph, yeah. But you know, there are still Christian martyrs today. We have our, you've heard the stories over and over again. You've heard of our own cathedrals in Africa. You've heard of people that have lost their lives because they're Christians. We see it on the news. We saw it yesterday, and you're going to see it again tomorrow. I've shown you pictures of that cathedral that we have in Kenya that they started to build and it got burned down three times. And guess what they did? They started to build it a fourth time. Still there right now. This is why we join an apostolic ministry. And this is why we seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to further us in this, to empower this church with ordained ministers that will guard the faith, that will be true to the teachings of Jesus as we've received them, that make the promise that they believe the Holy Bible as the inspired and holy Word of God. We did an awesome, awesome thing here Wednesday in this tiny little church in Dousman, Wisconsin. Wow. Wow. Okay, so I've talked probably a long time and I didn't even get to my notes on Hebrews and John. I don't know that I need to today. Think you got something you can take home with you today? I think maybe you do. Say one quick word about Hebrews is that what we saw is Jesus taking his place as great high priest confirms to us the sacred ministry and ordination with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus didn't do it by himself. As soon as he was raised up, God says to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You are a deacon forever." You can be an ex-deacon. You can be a quit deacon. You can be a whatever deacon, but you're never going to be not a deacon. Just like you in your baptism. You can quit it. You can ignore it. You can not do it. But guess what? When you're baptized, you're baptized. It doesn't go away. And if we open ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God will empower us in our baptism just as He empowers people in ordination. Awesome thing. And I just think this church is going to take off. Praise God. All right, we're going to leave these notes for another time. Always won't leave them wanting more, right? Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here to this point today, Father God. We thank you for raising up a new deacon in this church, Father, for the ordination ceremony. I ask your blessing on each person that was here. Lord, for those who saw the majesty and the splendor of what happened here, that the seed will be planted, that they will seek out a relationship with you. Father, help us to minister to all of those in our lives and to answer our own call in the servant ministry of the priesthood of all believers, the diaconate of all believers. Lord, we especially ask your blessing on Ralph today as he works and continues in this holy and sacred calling. Lord Jesus, we offer all of this up before you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.